As we make preparations to hear these words of Scripture for us this day, if you are able, I would invite you to please stand. Hear these words from chapter 6 of John's Gospel, beginning with verse 56. Jesus says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you are those who do not believe." For Jesus knew the first who were from the first, the ones who did not believe and who was the one that was to betray him. And Jesus said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that these words might take root in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. O God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they might be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Mark Twain once said that many people complain that they do not understand the Bible. He said that he could live with the parts of the Bible that he did not understand. It was those parts that he did understand that bothered him the most. Seems to be this issue around this morning's passage of Scripture from John's Gospel. It's again one of those about eating flesh and blood. "This teaching is difficult," said Jesus' disciples. "Who can accept it?" And many took offense at the words of Jesus and they left. And finally Jesus says to the 12, "Do you wish to go away also?" But that's really a question for us this morning. Do we wish to go away as well? Are you offended by me, Jesus says? Now, this is a rhetorical question. I really don't want the answers right now, or we might be here for a long time. What bothers you the most about Jesus? What bothers you the most about your church? What bothers you the most about your denomination? Those who chose not to follow Jesus failed to follow Jesus because they could not get Jesus to fit into their system, into their lives. They could not add Jesus to what they were already doing, and so they chose not to follow. They couldn't figure out how to have Jesus plus faithfulness, Jesus plus the law, Jesus plus politics, that'll get you going. Jesus plus power, Jesus plus fun. Remember the little girl at church camp when I was a dean of a junior or an elementary camp, and I was laughing and giggling about something, and she looked up at me and she said, "I cannot believe you are laughing and you're going to be a minister." Oh. Of course, she was only about 7 or 8 years old, but oh, poor child. Couldn't get blended together Jesus and intellect, Jesus plus ego, Jesus plus Christianity, Jesus plus, you fill in the blank. I'm going to go over here for a little bit. It's a little story I heard years ago that I've thoroughly enjoyed. There were three clergy that were gathered together one time sharing a meal together, and they were discussing one of the problems they were having in their church, and it was a problem that all three of them shared in common. Their sanctuaries were becoming overrun with bats. And the first pastor said, "Well, I finally had enough of the bats, and I went into the sanctuary one evening with my shotgun, and I just started shooting, and I got 4 of them." Needless to say, the trustees are not very happy with me. The second pastor said, "Well, I devised these traps, and I set them up in the sanctuary, and I caught all the bats, and I took them 150 miles away. I let them go, and before I got back, they all returned with every single bat they journeyed past on the way, and now we've got a bigger problem than we started with." And the third pastor said, "We had a bat problem, but no more." And the other two clergy looked at her and said, "What did you do?" And she said, "Well, I had it as well, and so I baptized and confirmed them all, and I haven't seen them since." But that's frustrating. It's frustrating when we see people that come and join the church only to make sure that they've got some place to be married, buried, and baptized. It's frustrating when we see that ministry and the life of the church is not getting fulfilled to its fullest. It's frustrating when we see empty pews. Somebody the other evening said, remember when the balcony was filled with the youth of this church. There's not a single person in there right now. And that yet Jesus Christ calls each and every one of us, all of us, to go and to make disciples of all the world. And so the question is, how do we help people get connected and experience God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit? There was a person that was on a pilgrimage, on a journey, searching for the secret of eternal life. Now, many people had tried to explain it to this person, but it just never took root. And so finally, he went to a would-be teacher who said, you must cease wanting it. It's only when you realize that there's no eternal life and give up searching for its secret that you will understand. And then it will become clear to you, and you will be at peace. Ah, said the searcher, so you've found the secret. Well, of course not, said the teacher. Well, the searcher kept on searching. Came upon a second teacher who seemed to have many followers and asked, what is the secret of eternal life? And the teacher explained that life, as is death, is an illusion. And it's only when we allow ourselves to believe in the reality of what we see that we worry about such matters. There is no eternal life to be found, nor is life real. Everything is an illusion, everything is a dream. Enjoy yourself. You may as well, you create your own reality, no one else can. And the searcher thanked the teacher for his wisdom, but he wasn't quite satisfied. There was still that empty sense of being in his heart, mind, and spirit. And finally, sitting down one evening, he picked up a book. And it was a book that he had known all his life, but being so familiar with it had kept him from really getting to know it. And he says, in that book, I met a third person. And the third person said, I am the secret of eternal life. No one will be saved except through me. And where are you? Asked the searcher. How can I come to you? How can I find you? And the person said, invite me into your heart and you will find me there. Look for me in the pages of this book and I'll be there. Find me in the eyes of your loved one, in the eyes of the poor and the downtrodden, the outcast of the earth. Draw near to me and I'll come to you. Worship me with a sense of joy and gladness and I'll fill you with true peace. And you are the secret of eternal life, the searcher persisted. You, this Jesus I've heard about all my life, it's really you. And Jesus said, read my words. Read the testimony of those who were eyewitnesses of my deeds. When others left off from following me because of something they didn't understand, those who knew me best saw nowhere else to turn. For I am the way, the truth, the life, and I am the source of eternal life. Now, we're all on a journey. If you were that searcher, who would you believe? When Jesus walked on the earth, he invited people to observe his actions, his teachings, and he then invited people to follow him. Some did so, but many did not. And the difference between the two groups is really simple. Those who followed Jesus followed Jesus. Lord, to whom can we go? Asked Peter. You are the one who has the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God. I didn't have the last sentence of the affirmation of faith that we said this morning in mind till it jumped out at me at the first service. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. In the midst of all of this passage of Scripture, perhaps that we don't understand or can't comprehend, the good news is we do not need to look any farther. Jesus the Christ. He's the secret. He is life. Those who followed Jesus followed Jesus. May we go and do likewise. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, it is easier said than done. To follow Jesus is to follow Jesus. But we ask and pray, O God, that the teachings that we know, that they might take deep root in our spirits and our souls, and might be daily nurtured by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit each and every day. That we, O God, might be your faithful servants to the world. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.